where we're going either. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service this morning. David reminds us in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. It's a wonderful reminder that when we look outside and we look at everything that God has created, it actually speaks to us. It speaks to us that there's a creator God who is awesome and powerful and majestic and glorious, that there is a God of order and not chaos. And it's interesting that even though the creation doesn't physically speak like I do, it's still speaking about the God whom we worship. So we're going to worship that God this morning, our God, the God who has spoken to us, not only through creation, but as we're going to learn this morning, through his word to us, the Bible. So our first song this morning is How Firm Our Foundation Is Jesus Our Lord. It's fortunately not in the song, but it's a great reminder of why we gather together and what our basis for our gathering this morning actually is. So if you're in the church, if you'd like to stand, we'll sing this together.
How firm the foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold.
I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us this morning of how great and wonderful you are, that you are the God who made the heavens and the earth and everything that dwells therein. Father, when we look outside and look at the sun and the moon and the stars that you set in place, Father, we are reminded, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung, we just Thank you again that you never leave us or forsake us. Father, that you are always with us, that there is nowhere that we can go to run away from you or hide from you. Father, that you know when we sit, when we rise, you know what we speak, you know what we think. And Heavenly Father, we know that sometimes it's a bit scary because it reveals what we are really like. Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. And Father, we know that our lives are stained by sin. We see that every day, and we see the effects of sin every day in our world. And so we come again this morning seeking your mercy and your grace and your cleansing in our lives. Father, we long to live for you and for righteousness and for holiness. But Father, so often we stumble and we fall and we sin against you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us this morning of our sins. We thank you for the promise that if we do confess our sin, that you are faithful and just, and that you promise to forgive. That you promise not to continually bring our sins up before us, but Father, that in Jesus our sin has been dealt with and has been buried at the foot of the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus our Saviour, for all that he has done for us. We thank you that his death enables us to be forgiven. And we thank you for his resurrection, which enables us to receive eternal life. Father, these are things that we could never earn or deserve, but are given freely to you, freely to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning is Ephesians 5, 15 to 20, and Lee's going to read it for us. Thanks, Lee.
Morning, everybody. How great it is to come to God's word. How great it is that we can believe what God says. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen.
Okay, a few announcements for this morning. Okay, so our congregational meeting for Lockhart will be this afternoon at 2:30. Under the rules of the church, we have to read you an edict twice, but just to fulfil extra requirements, I'm going to read it again for a third time. Session is resolved to call a congregational meeting for the Lockhart congregation to be held in the Lockhart Church. That's here today, Sunday the 28th at 2:30. For the purpose of hearing Presbyterian Representative Reverend Dave Powell on 1, conclusion of the Pastoral Relations Commission investigation, and 2, the upcoming presbytery consultations, which will seek to clarify the current state of playing the pastoral charge and formalise viable options for growing gospel ministry in the Henty Lockhart charge. So that's what we'll be doing. Dave Powell will be coming up this afternoon. For the meeting, it's an important meeting, so if you can attend, that would be great. There's no live stream of the meeting. Henty had their meeting on Thursday. That was a positive meeting. There's some documentation and some things to read that will be given to the Lockhart congregation this afternoon. But if you are online from Henty and you'd like a copy of those documents, just get in contact with me and we can arrange that. Now, next Sunday, there will be no online service. So if you're online this morning, just note that there'll be no online service next Sunday. And the reason for that is that I'm actually going to be on study leave. I'm actually leaving town to go up to our library, college library in Sydney, and I'll be spending some time doing some reading and some studying and those sorts of things. So I will be not here next Sunday. So that's why there's no live streaming or online next week. Now, we've been plugging this for a couple of weeks. This is a great little initiative to help raise funds for Mission Aviation Fellowship. So they fly missionaries and sick people all over the place. So the idea is you buy Dad a little Father's Day gift and you get a little card. And so you're buying something for Father's Day, which goes to the work of Mission Aviation Fellowship. And there's various options there. Thanks, Amy. Now, after last week, I thought I'd give you a bit of an update of how much we've actually raised. So on the left-hand side is the number of litres of fuel, and we'll see how far the little thing goes up on the thing here. And that'll give you an indication of how much we've actually raised. Okay, it's going up pretty slowly, but that's all right. It's like one of those things that you colour in for your fundraising things, but anyway. And there it is. So we've raised already just under 125 litres of diesel, and that's approximately 90 minutes of flying time, which I think is a pretty good effort. But today, if you'd like to make a purchase, if you go to the hall, the table's set up there, and hopefully we can do a little bit better. But I think that's actually a pretty good achievement for one Sunday already. So, and that's all the announcements we have for today. Okay, we're going to do the kids' talk this morning. Okay, so we've been doing our One Another series. And if you go to the next one, can you work out what the missing one is? Okay, so we've done 9 talks in our series. One of them is I've covered over. Can you work out which one is missing? Or what colour is missing even? No, not red. Red's in the bottom left-hand corner. I'll give you a clue. Sorry, it's not prey. It's blue. Sorry, Heather? Navy? Yeah, but what's the message on the... It's blue, but what's the message on it? Anyone remember? Okay, you better hit it, Amy. Forgive. Forgive one another. That's the blue one that we're actually missing. Forgive one another. Okay, all right, let's go to the next one. Now, this morning, I'm going to test your knowledge of the Book of Psalms, and I've got some questions here, and you have to pick the right answer, and when you get the right answer, we'll reveal what the puzzle is, okay? So here's the first question. How many psalms are in the Book of Psalms? 150. Excellent. Okay. Second question. What is the longest psalm in the Psalms? 119. Okay, very good. Third question. What is the second longest psalm? What is the second longest psalm? Well, you've got all the answers on the board. You're going to get a pick. Yeah, which one do you want, John? No, not 103. 103. Yes. Well done, Ross. 78. Okay. Number 4. How many psalms do we know that David wrote? How many psalms did we know for sure that David wrote? 75 is correct. Well done, Lee. 75 is correct. Number 5, how many psalms do we not know who wrote? How many psalms are kind of anonymous? So if David wrote 75 and there's 150, what's the answer? Very good. Thank you, Rod. 48. Okay. Number 6. How many times is a psalm or part of a psalm referenced in the book of Revelation? Well, there's 3 answers. It's not that hard. No, not 200. No. 103. 103. 103. Okay, we're getting close to the end. Okay, number 7. How many times does the word praise occur in the Psalms? 211, correct. And number eight, how many times does the word Selah occur in the Psalms? 71. All right, who can tell me what the answer to the puzzle is? Yes, exactly. Okay, the Psalms is kind of like the song book, the hymn book of praise, and it points us to Jesus Christ. That's what the Psalms is about, okay? But the New Testament tells us that with our Psalms, not only should we be singing, which we do, but we should also be speaking, and we should be doing that to one another, okay? That's what we should be doing. Not only just should we be reading the Psalms, we should be singing them, but also speaking them to one another. Now, why would we do that? Why does God actually command us to actually sing and to speak the Psalms to one another? Well, there's a simple answer. What's happening in that picture? Growing, all right? That's what the Bible's about. But it's a little bit more than growing. It's growing into Christ. Why? Because the Psalms point us to Christ. And that's why we need to be singing them and we need to be speaking them to one another. That's our kids' talk for this morning. Okay. Now, speaking of speaking, we're going to sing our next hymn, Speak, O Lord. It's a great song because it's a prayer that God would be speaking to us through his word, and then that we would be able to speak that to one another. If you're on the songbook, it's on page number 25, Speak, O Lord. So let's stand and sing this together. You know, lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for those who in times past wrote down your word under your spirit. We thank you that your word is for our edification and our encouragement. But Father, also for teaching us and admonishing us and for rebuking us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have access to your word, that we can read it, and Father, that you speak to us through your word. Father, when we're down and struggling, you speak words of comfort. Father, that when we sin, Father, you speak words of forgiveness. Father, when we go astray, you speak to us words of rebuke in order to help us to get back on the right track. We thank you that your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. We thank you that your word shows us what we are really like. And we thank you that your word is sharp and powerful. Wide. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for the work of Bible translation right around the world. There are so many people groups who do not have the scriptures in their own language. In our world, which cannot read or write. And Father, we thank you for those who go to these places, Father, to teach people to read and write, and Father, to translate the scriptures so that people might have hope in and through the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we do pray as we have sung that you might teach us full obedience and reverence before your word. Father, that day by day we may know more of your word, that we might understand it more fully, that we would know what it is that you require of us as your people. And Father, that by your Spirit, Father, you would plant your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Heavenly Father, we pray for the spread of your word. We thank you for our Bible study groups. We thank you for those who teach scripture in schools. Father, those who go into nursing homes and aged care facilities, into prisons and hospitals, to take your word to speak life and hope and comfort and encouragement. Father, we pray for those who have never heard your word before, that you might open their hearts, that your word might take root in their lives. Father, we pray for those who have hardened their hearts to your word. Father, who know that they are living in willful disobedience to you. Father, that your word would penetrate and convict them and bring them to newness of life. Father, we pray for each other that we might see the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. That, Father, the things that we've been talking about in our series of one another, of forgiveness and love and encouragement and praying for one another, Father, that we would get better through your strength at doing these things so that the body of Christ may be built up and that we all reach maturity in the faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are all a work in progress, that none of us are perfect. Father, that you lead us down different paths of life for your glory and for your plans and for your purposes. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you might continue that good work in us, bringing us through to completion, to the day where we will be renewed and made perfect before you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage this morning is Colossians 3, 12 to 17, and Rod's going to read it for us. Thanks, Rod.
Yes, this is one letter that Paul wrote that I go to fairly regularly, written in prison to a church that he'd never even been to, a new one, no one. But anyway, chapter 3 of Colossians, beginning at verse 12, page 834 in the church Bible. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yes, I do thank God for his word.
Yes, indeed, let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank you for your word, and we pray that your word would be speaking into our hearts and lives this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at university, I had a period of a few weeks where I was finding things a bit difficult, and the campus director of our group asked to meet up with me, and when they did, they said to me, I've got a word from God for you. Now, this group was actually a Pentecostal group I was involved in, and I thought, oh, here we go, what's going to happen here? Anyway, a piece of paper was handed over, and on it, it had a handwritten verse from Philippians, which said this. It said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's all I needed to know. I just needed to know that while things were tough, God was working out his plans and purposes, and the good work which he started in me, he will continue. God was not going to abandon me, but he was going to bring me through. It's an example of the power of speaking the word of God to one another, which is our topic for today. Speaking the word of God in someone's life can make a world of difference. Because words are powerful things. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There's something wonderful and edifying and enriching when we speak the scriptures to one another. Speaking the Bible to one another, it's a really important thing that we can and we must be doing as Christians. So Paul says in Colossians 3:16, that's our verse for today, that the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 5:19-20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I've already stressed in this series, we one another because of what Christ has done for us. The way we act towards one another is driven from who we are, not what we want to become. And that's foundation. So, for example, there's no point in memorizing the scriptures and being able to recite them at will if they haven't touched our hearts and we are changed by them. In the case of the Colossian church, church in Asia Minor had been established by Paul during his missionary journeys. Paul spends two chapters outlining the supremacy of Christ to swat away the false teaching that had invaded the church. These false teachers taught that in order to have full salvation, believers must worship certain spiritual rulers and authorities and submit to special rites. And Paul says, no. Jesus gives you full salvation, full stop. Paul says in 1:15, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Paul says Jesus is supreme. He's not a second-class God that came down from heaven. He is, in fact, God, the one true God. He was and is and will be for all eternity. He's the creator of the world. He created everything, including the invisible spirit world. And not only creator, Jesus is also the end, the goal of creation. All things were created for him. And then to cap it off, Jesus is also the sustainer of creation. All things in this world hold together because of him. That's who Jesus is. But just as important is what he has done for the Colossian church and for us. Jesus has reconciled us to himself. So Paul says in 1:21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you wholly in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There's some strong language here. Alienation, enemies. But that is who we were. We wanted God out of the picture, and we loved our sin more than we loved God. But Jesus comes to take the punishment for sin and enables us to become friends with God if we put our faith and trust in his work. Paul says that that is the gospel, the good news for all humanity in 1:23. Instead of being under the judgment because of our rebellion against God, we receive grace and we receive freedom and something we don't deserve when we come to Jesus. And so in Jesus, we can have full salvation. So as Christians, as people who have received Christ, we should be living differently. Paul says in 2:6, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. For the Christian, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means, as Paul says, we must walk in him in faith and in thankfulness. As Christians, we have been raised with Christ. Our old earthly fallen way of life, it's to be no more. We have to have renewed hearts and minds. We are to put to death the earthly nature. And as now God's people, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentle and patience. We're to bear with each other. We are to forgive whatever grievances we have against one another. We are to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. We are to do these things because we have been saved through Christ. That's why we've looked already in this series that we are to love one another, to forgive one another, to build one another up. And as last week we learnt, we need to live at peace with each other. Peace of Christ is to rule our hearts and among one another, says Paul in 3:15. And that leads to this important command in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Now, in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus gives us the great commission to his disciples. And there's only one imperative in the entire commission: make disciples. The rest are verbs which describe how the disciples are made, by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Now, it's a similar thing here in 3:16. The imperative or the command is to let dwell. In the original, the first part of the verse literally reads, the word of Christ, let it dwell. Where is it to dwell? It is to richly dwell in us. How is it to dwell? Well, that's where the other verbs come in, through teaching and admonishing one another. So let's consider a number of key phrases in this verse. The first is the word of Christ. Now, most people take that to mean the scriptures, the Bible. But it's a little bit deeper than that. The Greek word for word in the New Testament is the word logos. Logos can mean a statement or a question or a discourse or a message or some form of written communication. However, John, in the opening verse of his gospel, gives it a new layer. So John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God." So obviously John is drawing a direct link between Logos and Jesus. Jesus was the Logos in the sense that Jesus is the express communication of God the Father to the world about his redemptive plan of the world through his Son. So the word of Christ is the message of gospel preaching about Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And that doesn't mean we focus solely on the New Testament, because God's redemption plan begins in the opening pages of the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is designed to point us to Christ. But what it does mean is when we speak the word to one another, it has to take on a Christocentric focus. Paul says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." Now, if you stop at that point, it sounds something individualistic. It sounds a little bit simple. And it's true, we need to be reading and meditating on the word of Christ at an individual level daily. But the "you" is plural. And there's another key phrase here as well, and that being one another. So this dwelling of the word of now, one avenue is what we're doing today, is we gather together. When we do, we gather around Christ and we enjoy him together as we listen to him and as he speaks to us through the scriptures. Can also happen in the context of a smaller gathering. But secondly, then there's also this phrase, teaching and admonishing. And this is not the first time Paul has used this phrase in his letter. In 1:28, he says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." So teaching and admonishing, they're two terms. They have a fair amount of overlap. Teaching has the idea of information transfer. Admonish has the idea of warning or advising. So admonishing is more on the negative side. Teaching has kind of got more positive overtones. But what's the content of our admonishing and our teaching? Well, Paul says it's Christ. We proclaim him, that is Jesus, in 1:28. What's the goal of the teaching? Again, 1:28 helps us out. To present everyone perfect in Christ. So that's going to require theology as well as instruction. That means from time to time we will need to be corrected and warned. The Christian mind gets so muddled from time to time, and as we proclaim Christ, it helps us to get ourselves straightened out to grow into maturity. Teaching and admonishing, they're ministries of the word. They involve speaking. Now, I'm a minister of the word and sacraments. Sacraments do involve speaking, but they're mainly about doing. You know, you eat and you drink and you use water. But primarily my job is actually speaking. And that's why some of the Bible colleges, they actually get speech therapists to come in and assess the students' voices and train them how to actually look after their voice. But it's not solely the minister's job to speak. The letter of Paul wasn't written to an individual, but to all the believers in Colossae. Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." That's a really important word, wisdom. Wisdom is what you do with knowledge. In this context, it is living in this world in the light of the life of the death and resurrection and ascension and return of Jesus. The spirit of teaching and admonishing is the wisdom to know how to live out the Christian life. Now, I think we can all agree that our world is a confused mess. It's pretty scary at the moment. And a lot of us are concerned for our future generations that come behind us. Well, the most important thing our young people need to know is that they need to cling to Christ. He's the best anchor that they're ever going to have. He's the one who can show us how to navigate this life well. And that's what we need to be speaking and affirming. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's that phrase, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which seems a little bit unusual. We know about speaking, but Paul says we can teach and admonish one another through song. Paul says in 5:19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So what's the difference between a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song? Well, that question assumes that there is a difference. Some people argue that Paul is saying the same thing in three different ways. So if I said something is dead, buried, and cremated, it's three ways of saying the same thing. In our case, people often say that Paul is referring to one thing, and that is the hymn book of Israel, which is the book of Psalms. And they use that as an argument that Christians should sing psalms only in Christian worship. So what's the exact difference between a song and a hymn and a psalm? And is there a difference? Well, when psalm is used in the New Testament, of the seven occurrences, it always refers to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, except for one possible exception. If you think you know it, come and see me. When we come to the word translated hymn, we find only two occurrences in the New Testament, Colossians and Ephesians, but presumably they are songs of the New Testament church. So Paul seems to be quoting something like that in Ephesians 5:14. The word which we translate song has five occurrences in the New Testament, and the remaining three are found in the book of Revelation. But when you add the adjective spiritual attached to it, it actually comes quite difficult to define, because it could be spiritual as in content, but it also could be spirit prompted. Now, we could get stuck in an endless debate here about all this, but let's not actually miss the big picture of what's going on. Firstly, whatever we sing, whether psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs, we should be singing with gratitude in our hearts to God. Singing must come from your heart. God is not interested in half-heart or sacrificial worship. And gratitude should not be a problem because of what Christ has done for us. Secondly, however you define psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, our singing should be based on the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Which is why singing the psalms, it's an excellent way to actually sing the words, the Word of Christ. Now, unfortunately, over the last few decades, a lot of songs which people sing actually simply fail to pass some theology tests. Back in the 90s, the Hillsong released an album called Touching Heaven, Changing Earth, and one of the more popular songs was called Church on Fire. And one of the lines from the chorus was, this is a church on fire. Now, the whole song didn't mention God or what Jesus had done, but it was actually very popular. Now, over in Alaska, Joel Stempoulos, he's a worship pastor at Wasilla Bible Church, and he became really concerned about the direction in which worship was heading, and he began to long to have our worship songs return to more biblically rich content. He even began to actually pray for Keith and Kristen Getty as they wrote their music. They're the people who wrote songs such as In Christ Alone and many others that we sing today. Anyway, as Joel was praying, God answered his prayer. One day, God said to Joel, you're a worship pastor, you do something about it. And so the Psalm Project was born, a project where Joel and his team attempted to put every psalm to music. And yes, including Psalm 119, the question that Joel gets asked about more than anything else. Now, some of those psalms we have and we use in our worship, like today. And you can go to their website and the audio is freely available. But for many, I've actually found it really refreshing. It's made my knowledge and appreciation of the psalms far greater than I could ever imagine. Because one of the things I've learned is that songs help you actually to remember things. So that's why when they want to sell breakfast cereal or fire spray, they come up with a catchy jingle. When they converted to decimal currency in Australia in 1966, They wrote a very catchy song called "Quick Go," a very catchy song to the tune of "Quick Go the Shears." Words are up there on the screen, to actually help people to remember and to convert successfully. For some reason, songs stick in your mind. If I had the choice of listening to the audio Bible on CD where someone reads you the psalm, or with some of the Bible Church's psalm projects, I'll take the song every day because I just seem to be able to remember it more. Now, God understands this principle as well. In Deuteronomy, after laying out the entire law, in chapter 32, he gave his people a song to help them remember their history and what God wanted his people to do. One of my favourite psalms at the moment is Psalm 78, the second longest in the entire book of Psalms. It's a history psalm, but well, some of the Bible Church has put it to music and it's helped me to understand God and his plans and his purposes despite their failings. When we sing together, we are, if done properly, we are reinforcing the word of God, the word of Christ to one another. It builds us up, it encourages us, it teaches us, and sometimes it also admonishes us. And it's relatively simple to do, and so we should give thanks for our musicians and our songwriters who assist us with this. But we also need to be speaking the scriptures to one another. So the question becomes, well, how do we do that? Well, we will never be able to speak or sing the scriptures to one another unless we actually know the scriptures ourselves. The word of Christ must dwell in us richly if we are to speak it to one another. We must be constantly hearing the word of God, which is why Sunday worship is so important, but also the individual study of God's word on a daily basis, studying it together in some form of small group. It's really difficult to speak about something you don't know of, and if you do, you're usually going to get found out about it. Secondly, as I've been saying a lot in this series, the place to start is in prayer. Pray and ask God who you can bring the word of God into someone's life. Now, the starting point for speaking probably should be a non-Christian about Christ. How can I speak the gospel into someone's life who doesn't know Jesus? But we should also be praying for when you have a coffee date with someone, for our after-church conversations, or even when you speak to someone on the phone. Prayer is always a good step. Remember, if you do not know what to speak, praying can also help you in that regard. Thirdly, before we speak, we need to be listening. Now, when I did a course on counselling at college, one of the first things I learned, it's not about speaking, but rather listening and making sure people are heard. Understand what they are saying, and then you can speak into that situation with the Bible. Now, that could be then a word of encouragement, it could be a word of rebuke, it could be a reminder, it could be a word of thanks. But you never know what is right unless you are first listening to that person. Otherwise, there's no connection. And fourthly, we just need to practice. So just like prayer, the best way to get better at prayer is to pray. Well, the best way to speak the word to one another is to actually speak the word to one another. And so we need to look for opportunities, we need to pray, we need to listen, and we need to speak. Finally, we need to believe and have confidence in the power of the word of God, which is super powerful. It is the Bible, after all, it can speak life into something which is dead. If you remember Ezekiel 37, God takes Ezekiel into the desert and he finds a whole pile of bones. How do those bones actually come to life? Well, the chapter tells us, through the Spirit and through the spoken word. Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So let's never underestimate the strength and the power that speaking the word of God actually comes with. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is super powerful and that it can bring life to dead bones. And so, Father, we pray that we as your people might get better at speaking the word to one another. Father, help us to know your word so that we can speak to one another. Please help us to look for opportunities to speak. And please help us in our worship as we sing together. Father, to be thinking about what we're singing and to be thinking about our heart and to be learning from your word through singing as well. So help us with these things, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I talked about this morning, our friends from Worcester, we're going to sing one of their psalms we haven't done before, Psalm number 19, Psalm 19. I just want to read a couple of verses. Psalm 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, it revives the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, it makes the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, it gives joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." And it goes on to talk about how precious God's word is, more precious than gold and sweeter than honey from the comb. Psalm 19. It's a pretty easy tune to pick up as we go along. If you want to follow along in your Bibles, that's perfectly fine. So let's give this a go. Psalm 19.
The heavens above declare the glory of our God, and what his hands have made, the skies proclaim abroad. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night by night their knowledge teach. There is no language used, or any spoken word. No sound is made by them, and yet their voice is heard. Are sure, make wise a simple one. The precepts of the Lord are right, and fill the heart with great delight. God's radiant commands shed light on what we see. The fear of God is pure and lasts eternally. Gold they are, than honey from the comb, than honey sweeter far. They warn the servant of the Lord, in keeping them is great reward. Forgive my hidden sin. Keep me from willful deeds. May they not rule within. And then I shall be free from blame and guiltless of transgression shame.
the last verse of that psalm. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Go forth and meditate on the word of God and know the Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Reminder, if you're online, no online next week. Reminder, if you're in Lockhart, our meeting this afternoon will be at 2:30. Thanks to Amy again for all her work with the technology this morning. And have a great week.